I want to encourage you to turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. The title I put in the bulletin this morning is Living in Grace, going along with Your Grace is Enough. I thought about taking a little detour from our Galatians study to look at something more fatherly for today. But as I looked over the text, I thought about what was taking place between the graduates and the daduates, I guess, or the, as they say in some places, the grads and the dads, or dads and the grads. This message seemed to be appropriate for them, but also for every person that's here today. So if you're here today and you have a heartbeat, well, this message is for you. That I really feel like the Lord would have us to look at today. And it's certainly applicable to the dads that are in the congregation among us, because some of the points we'll be talking about and the steadfastness that's necessary to stand firm in the faith certainly applies to the dads that are here, because, you know, you start out, it's all exciting. You know, everybody's going to be at the hospital in Sarah and Nick's case on Wednesday. There'll be an entourage there, and they'll be telling us, you need to quiet down in that waiting room. You're making too much noise. We have had that happen before, haven't we? So, can't help it if you're just well loved. So, a lot of excitement going on. Well, who was it? Was it Ava when she was born? We were going around trying to find a TV to watch the ball game on, because it was the night of the ACC tournament or the NCAA tournament or something like that. And I found an old room they was renovating, and it had a TV on the wall, and the cable was still hooked up. So we found our way a little bit there. But it's all exciting to start with. But when you get into the routine of fatherhood, it can become very challenging, especially when your children become the grads that we're talking about as well. It's fine when they're at home. You know, a lot of times maybe mama's able to stay home and take care of them, or a family member's taking care of them, or maybe they're in a daycare or a preschool or something like that. But then they go off to the big school. And I remember when we carried Chase to kindergarten that first day, Tanya and I was so sad for about 30 seconds, and then we went to Briggs and had brunch, and we were fine after that. So it's a whole new world when you see them walk into that big building, or see them get in that orange school bus or yellow school bus as it comes by your house. It's a major adjustment for the student and for the parents. Then they go to middle school. Oh, my goodness. I remember the first time going to eat lunch with Sarah at West Cary Middle School, and just walking down the hallway to go to the cafeteria and hearing the language and stuff that I heard in the hallways. And I thought, wait a minute, I wasn't expecting this to be encountered until high school at the earliest. But yet it's an amazing thing the way the culture has changed and the way a lot of kids are today. And I've always told somebody, you know, a lot of times when churches start a Christian school, they start with kindergarten. You know, we've got a preschool coming up, and that's exciting. I'm excited about that. But if we was going to start a full-fledged Christian school, everybody always starts with kindergarten and works their way up, which is logical. But I remember thinking, though, after that, if I could have 1 year of a school, Christian school for our church members or the community, I'd want that 1 year to be sixth grade, because that's such a pivotal age and a pivotal grade in their career. It sets the foundation for what lies ahead. And if we can make sure that they're on the right path in the sixth grade and let God really do that work in their heart, when the heart is really at that point where it's desperately wanting some direction and guidance, they need to hear it from God and not from the world they're living in. But you see that. But then you get over to high school, and you have all the experience that goes along with that. And then what you could call the real world, even though the real world's already in the schools anyway, be it in college or out in the workplace or whatever, or in the mission field, whatever it happens to be. But we need to know some basic principles about what it means to live in grace. Now, last week we were talking in the last part of chapter 4 of Galatians, and we compared the old covenant and the new covenant, and we talked about the differences of that. And some of that is continued in the first part of chapter 5, but really chapter 5 sort of swings into the a more applicable part that we can really see some basic principles that can help us as a child of God. It can help us as a dad. It can help us as a mom. It can help us as a child of God seeking to do God's will in our lives. And it shows some of the warnings that we need to heed if we are going to be faithful to our God. God is faithful to us. I'm thankful for that. He's never going to leave us or forsake us. But yet, even with that, what we know that the world is going to try to draw us away from Him. It says in chapter 5, verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. For you have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." We're going to read more in just a minute, but may the Lord add His blessings to the reading of His Word. You see this first part, and you see the circumcision showing up again. You see the uncircumcision, and you see the debtor to the law. You see being estranged from Christ, and the words there, which are shocking, fallen from grace. And what does it mean to fall from grace? Well, first thing we've got to understand, and these first six verses tell us this, that we need to be sure of our foundation. We need to know that our foundation is secure. If you're going to stand fast in the liberty which is by Christ, that's made us to make us free, we need to be sure that our foundation is in Christ and not simply in the law. You know, when you see Christ ministering to people, when you see Christ sharing His own gospel, and when you see Paul sharing His own gospel, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ as well, you don't see a list of things, of duties to be accomplished in order to be saved. I was thinking about the thief on the cross just this morning, and when he recognized Jesus for who He was. And He asked Him to remember Him when He comes into His kingdom. And Jesus said, you shall be circumcised first. You shall do this first. You shall do that first. You shall do this first. No, He didn't say that. He said, this day you will be with Me in paradise. Because He expressed a genuine faith in God. His foundation was in Christ Jesus. And to sum up these verses, that's pretty much what it's talking about there. It says in 1 Corinthians 3:11, it says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Your faith is founded in Christ. And not an ability to keep the law or to maintain your salvation so you don't lose it. But your foundation is in Jesus Christ. He is the chief cornerstone. As a matter of fact, Peter says this, "Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on Him will by no means be put to shame.'" That the foundation is in Christ Jesus, and you need to be careful about this foundation problem. You see the commercials on TV and you hear them on the radio all the time about foundation failures and how it can be catastrophic to a structure. Well, if you have a foundation failure in your spiritual walk, it's even worse than that. That there's nothing wrong with the foundation that you have if that foundation is found in Christ Jesus. Are you saved today because of your faith in Christ? Or did you become good enough to become saved? Is that how it worked for you? What is your foundation resting on? You need to know this. Andrew needs to know this. Julian needs to know this. As they go out into the different parts of the world, they need to understand what they're going to be standing against. And the fact that their faith in Christ alone is enough, they're going to hear all kinds of things as they go out into the world. You hear it every day in your workplace. You hear it by the water cooler, if they have still water coolers. I don't know if they do or not, but that you hear it time and time and time again. But you see it here. It said Christ will profit you nothing if you're basing your salvation on something other than Christ Jesus. And that's the circumcision he's talking about here. And it said in verse 4, you become estranged from Christ. You who attempted to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. Fallen from grace. You recognize that? That's the SS Minnow as they were coming on to a three-hour tour. You see Skipper and Gilligan there at the top. And I tried to find a picture of that. I could not find it anywhere on the internet. So I told Tanya, I cannot spend 2 hours looking for a picture of Gilligan on the internet. So, But that scene kind of reminds me of Noah, there, you know. And you see the animals on the ark. And you know the story goes along with that. When it says you have fallen from grace, it literally means you've lost your grip on grace. And, you know, you see all these bad guy TV shows that are out there, and they're chasing the bad guys or the good guys or whatever it may be, and they're hanging by the edge of a building just by their fingertips. They hold on and they hold on. Maybe even in Superman, you see that happen as well. They're hold on and hold on, and they finally lose their grip. And it reminded me of what Adrian Rogers said about Noah and the Ark. You remember Noah and the Ark? You've heard that story, right? So I think we're safe to say that you've probably heard that. And then how God told him to build the Ark just so. It had to be so long, so wide, so high. Had to hold so many animals. And he said, I want you to put on the outside, and you can almost see him on this picture here, I need you to put 8 pegs on the outside of the Ark. One of them for each of you. One for Noah, one for Mrs. Noah. One for Shem, one for Mrs. Shem. One for Ham, one for Mrs. Ham. I'd like to have that name, Mrs. Ham. One for Japheth, one for Mrs. Japheth. And you're gonna hold on the outside of the ark, and when the storm waters come, you're going to hold on as tight as you can. Don't worry, I've got the ark. You just hold on with your dear life, as if your life depended on it, and you'll be fine. Is that what the scriptures say? That's not what it says, is it? As a matter of fact, it says over in Genesis, then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household. And when you invite somebody to come into something, the implication is that God's already there. You come inside the ark where I am, you and your whole household, and you'll be saved. You know, those that are saved by law, they have the pegs on the outside of the ark, and they're trying to hold themselves up to keep from losing a grip so they don't lose their salvation, or they even fall from grace, you might would say, if that's what it truly depended upon. But your foundation is secure, because even in the rough waters, you're in the ark in the presence of God. All right, if you've tried to be saved anyway other than faith in Christ, you might as well be outside of the ship, holding on for dear life. But if you are truly in Christ and Christ abides in you, dads, grads, whatever it may be, then the presence of God is with you. And He'll help you through whatever storm may come your way, whatever flood may come your way. Make the storm of last week look like nothing, because the presence of God is with you. Be sure of your foundation, and I hope that you're all sure of your foundation this morning. Grads, you need to be sure of your foundation as you go out into the world. All right, secondly, be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you listen to. Is that a fair statement? Be careful who you listen to. I hadn't read the text yet. Look at this in verse 7 through 12. It says, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? For the offense of the cross has ceased. Oh, I wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off, it says. Some harsh words from the Apostle Paul. But he's talking about something that is very precious, because they're being intimidated by the false teacher, whoever it may be, whoever he is, it says. He doesn't identify the false teacher as far as the name and who it may be. But the false teachers are all around us. We hear all kinds of messages out there that are anti-gospel, anti-biblical. And we need to be sure that who we are listening to is indeed giving us wise counsel. You know, you think about what it says here, and it says, I have confidence in you. It says, you ran well. And Roland pointed out in our Bible study Friday morning, we usually look at our Sunday morning text on Friday morning in our Bible study. Now is what we've been doing at McDonald's, 6:30. Encourage you to come on out and be a part of it. He said, it's kind of funny to see what Paul has to say about all these people, because just a few verses ago, I was awful worried about you guys. And now he says, you ran well. He's talking about, well, you're falling from grace. And he says, I have confidence in you. And I can just imagine, as I thought about that this past week, I can imagine talking to your own child as a dad, saying, I'm so disappointed, I'm so concerned about you, I'm worried about the path that you're going. And young people here, or even old people, your dad has probably thought that about you at one point or another. I can just about guarantee it. I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about the path that you're going. But then he turns right around and says, you ran well. In other words, you started out so good. You did the things that that were Christ-like. You know, I forget now what the statistic is, but it's very low, the amount of 18-year-olds that graduate high school and go off to college that actually remain in church. Some of them have been in the church their whole lives, and they leave here, they get up here, they get their $25 from Walmart. Hey, there you go. And they got all they need then. And they get out there and they abandon their faith because people are telling them things contrary to what they've heard their whole lives. And they're swayed by that. We've got to be careful to who we listen to. There's some verses that help back this up. 1 Corinthians 3:12-13 says, "Now if anyone builds on this foundation, the one of Christ, gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become very clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work to see what sort it is." We will stand in judgment before the Lord someday. Philippians says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are pure, true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if anything there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." So if the message you're hearing does not fall in line with what the Scripture is saying here in Philippians 4:8, then a warning flag should pop up. And if you've been raised in the church and you've been listening to your Sunday school teachers, as you've been going through our Sunday school program here, when you get out into the real world and see these activities take place, you'll know that something is wrong. Be careful who you listen to. The false teachers are out there. And finally, be careful where you step. All right? Be careful where you step. All right? You've got to be careful about how you walk. If you're living the Christian life, living a Spirit-filled life, be careful where you step. It says in verse 13, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Not only to use liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in this one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." That sounds like a lot of churches I know done this. So, not this church, though. I went ahead and added verse 16. I know if you have subheadings in your Bible, it probably goes to a different subheading here. But it says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and do not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And that's what we'll be talking about next week. We'll be talking about the lust of the flesh, the works of the flesh, and the being filled with the fruit of the Spirit is what we'll be talking about. But be careful where you step. You've been called into this liberty, but we're not to use that liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. And now that's what a lot of people may be thinking all the way through the study of Galatians so far. Well, it doesn't matter what I do. God's grace has got me covered, right? But it says we don't use the liberty that we have as an opportunity to do things that are ungodly as spelled out in the Scriptures. I was thinking last week, the choir sang, "You've got His Word." And I'm thinking, well, if the Word of God doesn't matter, if the law doesn't matter, what does it matter what the Word of God has to say? It does matter as far as being obedient to the Lord and respecting of Christ Jesus, our Savior. And He'll give us, guide us in the path of righteousness. Even the Scripture says of itself, it's profitable for all these things, the Word of God is. And it's divinely inspired, it's God-breathed, that can help us get on track when we get off track, stay on track when we're on track, and that we may be, the Scripture says, perfect, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we need to be careful where we step. We need to watch our step. We need to not be given into the flesh. And again, more details of that will be given later. But we need to learn to walk in the Spirit. Psalms 1:1 says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly." There's the listening part again. All right, be careful who you listen to. "Nor stands in the path of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful." And you see the progression. It starts with listening to someone, standing with someone, and sitting down and dwelling with them instead of dwelling in the Spirit of the Lord and listening to the counsel, the wise counsel of God. Ephesians says, "Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Isn't that great that we can understand what the will of the Lord is? "Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melodies in your heart to the Lord. That's in step with the Spirit. That's walking in the Spirit. That's encouraging one another, lifting up one another, and seeing God make a difference in your life and in your world as well. If you're a dad or a grad, you got to be careful where you step. Remember the old children's song, "Be careful little eyes what you see," or "Be careful little ears what you hear." I don't know what the rest of them are, but "Be careful little mouth what you say." But the Father up above, looking down. Anyway, been a long time since. Well, I didn't grow up in a children's ministry. I got an excuse, but you guys don't. Even be careful where you step. Be sure of your foundation. Dads and grads, be sure of your foundation. If you're secure in Christ, if you've trusted in Christ as your Savior, that you believe that His death on the cross was enough to secure your salvation, you put your faith and trust in Him, then you have a sure foundation. But if you became a child of God, as you would call it, simply by being faithful in your attendance to church, and if the Lord asks you, why should He let you into my kingdom? And your response is, because I've been in church every Sunday, that's not good enough. If it's because you taught Sunday school, it's not good enough. If it's because you were a deacon in the church, that's not good enough. It's always going to fall short if you're talking about your own goodness. But if you say, because I press my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that's the answer they need to hear. Be sure of your foundation. Be careful who you listen to. They're all out there. They're on TV. They call themselves preachers. But be careful who you listen to. And make sure that the gospel message is built on Christ and Christ alone. And, of course, be careful how you walk. Be careful where you step.